Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host. I am Valerie Kirkgaard, and I am not alone. I've never been alone. I'm here this morning with C.W. Wright, an amazing partner that showed up in my life a couple of years ago and has been doing talk radio with me and is actually the originator of Our American Cafe. His commitment to make sure that people know what's going on in this world is one of the things that makes him a terrific human being to be friends and partners with. We've been doing Waking Up in America since 1987, and Our American Cafe is an extension of that. We're out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we invite you to go to our website at wakinguponamerica.com and, just spread the joy around. We have Barbara Mueller on this morning, and I think I met Barbara for the first time 10 or 15 years ago with her dear husband, Robert, at the UN. He's the undersecretary who used to like to play the harmonica on the floor of the UN, and I actually got to see him do that. We'll talk more about Robert's life today and about our lives as we move into a time of service and transformation here for planet Earth. God bless us all. We've all got good friends now at this point when you've been hanging around with a group that we've been hanging around with, and CW brings his whole batch of good friends to us. Barbara brings her whole batch, and before we hop into today's program, I just want to thank our sponsors, Emergency Management Solutions, also known as EMS Global One, and we'll talk more to CW about that. We also want to thank Sir Jason Winter T. and Tad Patterson for his You Have the Right. These are all people you can find on the Waking Up in America website. Right now I'm holding in my hand a book with a very handsome man on the cover of it. It's Sir Jason Winter, and the book is written by Sir Raymond Winter, his son, and it's What If? It's Reflections on My Father's Life, and we're actually giving out a copy of this book at no charge to you. So if you send us an email and you send it to Val at wakinguponamerica.com and you say, I would like the book, we will pop you one. Make sure you put in your address. You'd be surprised how many people don't sometimes. I guess they think we're going to teleport it over to them or something. I guess they give us really terrific magical powers, which I'm sure we'll have shortly. But right now, What If? I'm holding it. What an inspiring book. And if you go to our website, wakinguponamerica.com, you'll actually see Sir Raymond on the webpage. He's going to be dropping in from time to time. He's one of the Order of the Knights of Malta. And in case you're wondering what these Maltese people have been up to, they've been up to public service globally in their global world for over 900 years. So it's a good lineage that he brings of service to the world. CW is all about service. Barbara Mueller, Gone, is that how you pronounce it, Barbara?
It's pronounced Gone Like Gone With the Wind. I always say I'm Barbara from Santa Barbara and Gone Like Gone With the Wind.
So actually, Barbara's got a very interesting story, and she was this interview actually came up because I was scanning some pictures in my iPad, and I noticed Dear Robert with, I believe it was, orange slices behind his glasses.
Yes, that's correct. Orange slices probably in his eyes and French fries in his ears. He never thought life should be taken too seriously because peace only comes when you feel peaceful.
And that's what she's been all about. And we've all been working on the things that we've been working on from different angles, and it's a privilege. So, CW, you've met Barbara before. Is there anything you want to say this morning before we find out more about what she's up to?
I want to say just good morning, Barbara. It's great to see you again.
Well, thank you, CW. Honestly, I don't know what I do sometimes without great people like you and Val, and we just all make of the world a better place and a happier place.
Amen, sister.
Yeah, that's true.
Men is right. And I always say, a woman. Why not? Let's all get there.
Hey, you know, I have to tell you, as an aside, I turned on the television the other day and I saw, do you know who Gloria Allred is?
Yes.
Okay, so Gloria Allred, do you know who she is, CW?
Yes.
Okay, so Gloria Allred and I, she used to be the coordinator of Los Angeles Now, and I used to be the co-coordinator.
Really? What was she doing?
She's on television settling disputes as a judge.
She is.
I thought it was hysterical, actually, because Gloria Allred is now, you know, settling disputes between...
Well, she never gives up. That's why I like her.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, she always wore a red suit, okay?
Uh-huh, I remember. That's why they called her Allred.
Yes, and so we were actually in charge of Los Angeles Now in the 1970s, and I remember once she invited me to her office on Sunset Boulevard, CW. It was like the top of this tower on Sunset Boulevard, and she said, I want you to have an experience, Val, of what power is like. She had this enormous desk with these claw feet, and she was sitting there, and she had a view of the ocean from the top of this building, and she said, we can all have this. And that really stuck for me about Gloria.
I agree with you. And going back to Robert, you know what he says? He had this little book I carry around. And in here it says, dreams, and I believe ideas come true if you take the time to think about what you want in life. Make a list. Get to know yourself. Find out who you are. But choose your goals carefully. Be honest with yourself.
Sounds good to me. I'll do that. So she led a whole group of people through the 70s and the early 80s in Los Angeles Now. We went through a whole thing about being angry, and then we got into being effective, you know?
That's beautiful. Do you have that book down? Being angry or being effective? Do you realize how powerful that is for an e-book?
No, I didn't, Barbara. Perhaps you could help inspire me further. I've been thinking it's time to do a blog.
Well, listen, be angry or be effective? My goodness. What do you think they have this book out, The Millionaire Mind? Huh? But be angry or be effective. Think about it. That's powerful.
You are CW, what it's like? Do you think I could ever sink to some ineffective level? Never.
Never. Because
so
you always create your own dreams.
Barbara,
and the life that you live is what you thought yesterday.
I can tell I've got a live speaking e-book on the show with us. What I would like to do is actually have CW let you know about what Emergency Management Solutions is, because I really feel that it's part of the game that we're creating and part of the work that Robert was doing. And right now, CW is actually working with, why don't you tell them what you're working with, CW, what you're up to right now?
What we're up to right now is increasing our delivery of, recognizing humanitarian needs across the globe. And we have arranged to have transportation for supplies to those areas that need assistance in developing their society, especially those that need help in humanitarian efforts, whether it be in a worn, torn area, or a area where natural disasters took place, or simply an area that's underdeveloped and needs a chance at developing, where we can go in and help plant the seeds of recovery and prosperity.
Wow! Congratulations!
Isn't that awesome?
We've been able to do this out of the generous donations of airplanes that have been given by large conglomerates, that instead of just scrapping them, a perfectly good airplane, they would give them to us for, and that way get the full benefit of a tax write-off as opposed
Congratulations.
To
that's using resources in the best way for humanity.
It
Absolutely
is. Although it has caused us a bit of a small problem. No, we've got the storage part taken care of. We've got the pilots taken care of. We could even get most of the supplies that are needed. Sometimes we have to buy them. But our biggest problem is fuel. If anybody has ever flown a jet the size of a 767 knows that to fill those things up could cost, you know, $50,000 to $80,000. And that's for one round trip, or sometimes one trip one way, depending on how far you're going.
Well, that's why so many, I live in Santa Barbara, and that's why so many of our boat owners are selling their boats. It's not about that they don't love the luxury of, you know, say, of motoring around. The fuel costs are way out there now, and airplane fuel, They even have a surtax on everything if you take an airplane. So I totally get it. You just have to have a partner named Chevron or something, or Exxon.
That would be nuts. But what has happened in the past is we've had actually some people who are that work with the UN, with the I can't remember the name of the office, but dealing with emergencies across the world, who has actually helped get some of this fuel funded. And
good.
That's been a thing. Sometimes we get it donated by some of these large conglomerates as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Well, put that in your wish of dreams, you know, that you wish that when emergencies strike, you have the fuel to do the work you need to do, and it usually happens. You'll find the avenues. We all, my husband and I always would say, there's so many unemployed saints, be sure you ask them to help you.
Well, that's very cute. You know, Barbara, I'm remembering our radio show so many years ago when I interviewed Robert, and you were there, and one of the stories that came out, and I was thinking about it when I looked at his picture with the onions hanging off his ears and the whole thing. I mean, he was a man who could have very easily not laughed at the situation he was in Nazi Germany, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was remembering that, and I was wondering when you met him and had that thing, and I'm assuming that thing in Germany had occurred before. And
mm-hmm.
I think it would be a very interesting story. You wrote a book, The Prophet. A very interesting story if you would let us know really who Robert Mueller was.
Well, probably I can do that. When Robert was a little boy, I guess we should start at the basics. When he was a small little child, about 3 years old, his dad said, "Well, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And Robert said, "I want to be a peacemaker." And his dad said, "I pity you, young man. There's no such thing as a peacemaker, and you won't make any money being a peacemaker, so forget that. Be a hat maker like me." But Robert smiled and continued with his dream. And he hated his life. His life was made of French, German, changing nationalities 5 times.
Why did he change nationalities?
The French and German wars. They were fighting. He was shooting. They were shooting cousins rather than enemies. They had the same last name, and his grandfather changed nationalities 5 times. Without changing homes, because it was either the French regime or the German regime. And they all had the same last name, Schneider, so they were shooting cousins. And Robert said, "I will never stand for this." And so he was in the French resistance, Valerie. That's the reason why this whole story that I will share in a minute happened. He would not get into either side and join the French resistance at 18 years of age. And after a year or so of working there, he had a very high position because he was a bright man. And one day his secretary said, "There's some men outside looking for you." And he said, "Well, I'm going to go up to the fourth floor, and would you send somebody up and tell me who they are and what they want?" And pretty soon this little lower, I guess you could say, secretary of the next office came over and said, "Well, they're here for you. They want to arrest you. You have been just too vocal against this war, and they want you out of the picture." And so Robert said, "Fine," and said, "Well, what could I do that they would never expect?" And he said, "The only thing I could do is be happy, because when you're happy, the creativity of your brain is at its peak." They always say, if you want to create something new, smile. And so Robert started to smile and whistle and smoked a cigarette, and he said, "There's only one thing they would never expect, because I know them. If I get on the roof, they'll shoot me. If I roll up in a carpet, they'll find me. The only thing I can do is what they would not expect." And with that, he took his glasses off, and he had terrible vision, so he could hardly see, smoked a cigarette, put a file under his arm, and even combed his hair in a new way, put it back over his ears, went downstairs and said, "What's going on in this house?" as they were shaking his secretary, and he heard the words in German, "If you don't tell us, we will kill you too." And he said, "What's going on in this house?" And his secretary said, "They're looking for Louis Potterson," which was his assumed name. And he said, "Oh, Louis Potterson, I saw him on the fourth floor." And all the Germans went up to the fourth floor, and Robert walked out the front door, got a bicycle, and rode away.
Barbara,
now that's happiness at its very best.
Barbara, what picture, what slogan did I send you yesterday? Do you recall?
Oh, the one I printed it out. It was so darling. Val sent me the slogan that said, "Smile." Let me see the bottom. "Smile, it confuses people." I love it.
It was very funny.
How you found that?
I was just scanning through some stuff that I had, and I started to laugh because I thought, well, this is exactly what Robert did.
Yeah, smile. That's what he did.
Right,
you got it.
So what we want to do is CW and I want to send a message because I'm an ambassador for the Republic of the United States of America, and he's vice president, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as the universe throws things at us, and I love this story, Barbara, just keep smiling and keep going in the direction that you're going because the truth of the matter is we win.
Something about smiling, isn't there, Val?
Yeah.
It keeps you present. It keeps you out of your head worrying. I don't know. If you smile, you don't seem to worry as much.
You can't. Smile and worry can't exist in the same place. Are you totally inspired, CW?
I'm super inspired.
Me too. I'm inspired.
Oh, that was Mike. He's inspired too. I'm telling you, this man's story is just such a good story. So
and it, you know, it's so interesting because my Aunt Mary, you know, I can't. We don't have to go to famous people to prove this works. My Aunt Mary was.
Back up. I want you to say how your life changed when you said yes to Robert because that was our promise today.
Well, you're going to have it. How long is our show?
An hour.
Oh, good. So anyway, I just have to tell you this about Aunt Mary, because Aunt Mary, when she would be depressed, would sit in a chair and smile, period, until she felt better. And every single time anything went wrong in her life, when her husband died or anything, she would sit in a chair and smile, which would make her subconscious think, create new ways for her to be alive and well. Okay. How did I meet Robert? Is that your question?
No, you actually, well, that's a good question. How did you meet Robert? But also, what happened? How did your life change when you said yes to him? Because that's what we were talking about.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when I met Robert, we were at a world leaders conference, and it was called the Invitational, just like the golfers. We had an invitational, and we invited world leaders to La Casa de Maria because I felt they never get a chance to heal and to have a retreat just for them. And that retreat allowed them to be safe, secure, fed, and to discover their dreams that they want to keep on the planet. So Robert was one who responded first with enthusiasm on the invitation. Imagine somebody saying that. He was in Costa Rica. He had just founded the University for Peace. And with their president, Rodrigo Carazo, his wife had just passed away, Margarita, who was also an intern from Chile, and they were married. They had four children. And here was Robert in this 150-year-old cabin on the top of a mountain in Costa Rica. And you hear this man with enthusiasm in his writing, this energy. Yes, I will be there. So the invitation had everybody from people who were on the Reagan committee and you name it. And we all worked together. And I was always with Robert because I was single and he was single. And everybody would say, well, what is this thing you have? And I said to Robert, have you ever had a tour of Santa Barbara? He said, no, I haven't. So I took him on a tour. And this was about the third day into the Invitational, which was founded by his biographer, believe it or not, Douglas Gillies. And we started to tour Santa Barbara, and I took him to the highest mountain, Keyt Hill, where our TV broadcasts every day, the evening news,
Barbara?
And I said,
Barbara,
it's Santa Barbara.
When was this?
1994.
Okay, very good. Okay,
and then
I
took
get a
him
frame
back.
Of reference.
Yeah, 1994, and his wife had just passed the year before, and we were driving back from this mountain view, and he was just so ecstatic, and I had been in Santa Barbara at that time almost 30 years, and I went here maybe 20 years. I'd been a freshman in college and all the other things here and bought this house, and then as we were driving along back to La Casa de Maria, we were stopped at a red light. And Robert looked at me, and he said, "I love you." And I just stopped. It stopped me in my tracks. And I said, "You love me?" And I had that 30 seconds, because I knew who he was. I had gotten him 3 speeches. I heard him talk. And I said to myself, if I say I love you back, in that 30-second window, my life will change. I had to say yes or no, because no, man, I would keep my public relations firm, my 8 employees, my global clients. Yes meant, and I knew it in that 30-second window, that I would be selling my company and I would spend my life with Robert. And I said, yes, I love you too. And he said, and I will make you immortal. I almost stopped the car. Nobody says those words as humans to each other. And at that point, we committed to each other with I love you, and the next 17 years, we were inseparable.
Let me ask you a question about that moment of commitment and that life that you walked into. Was it not a life of service?
Absolutely.
Would that be one of your primary things that you would say shifted for you in that moment? Because everybody on this show, including Mike, our announcer, we're all about making the being part of the best things happening here on Earth. And Charles Schulz, who was the president of Starbucks, I don't know if he still is or not, he wrote a book, Barbara, and his book was all about his success having to do with the fact that he surrounded himself with people that were more educated than he was. And I don't know, did you ever read that, CW, or do you know about that?
No, I haven't read that one.
Yeah, because here we are. What we do every week is we surround ourselves with spectacular people. And in that moment when you chose service over your company and your 8 people, where did that journey lead you? CW, it's led, you know, CW actually started putting together emergency management kits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he started doing.
Mm-hmm.
Those emergency management kits have now evolved into the conversation that you've heard where he's assisting people all over the world and collecting planes, and I'm very happy to be part of that work with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this whole emergence is way bigger than I think you could have ever imagined, CW, from an emergency kit when you got started, right?
When did you start that, CW?
It got started in 1990, and it was all by accident. I wasn't out looking for something to do. I had my own little marketing group ad agency. We were servicing ERA real estate brokers in the state of California,
mm-hmm.
Including one there in Santa Barbara at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my little ad agency. We were servicing things. Now, we were at an age at that time where a lot of the we were all the same age. We were had young families, and our kids were going to school. And I get mm-hmm. this call one day saying, "Hey, you know, the school called and said we need to have some sort of earthquake
mm-hmm.
kit." And I said, "Okay." And that kind of ended that conversation for a while. And they were asked, "Well, where do you get one?" I said, "Oh no." I said, "I don't know. Just go buy one, I guess."
Mm-hmm.
And kind of fluffed it off. And
mm-hmm.
several months of this went by of different brokers with children like myself of
mm-hmm.
school age going to school, and I said, you know, I guess I got to look into this, and I did, and I found out that where you think you would go to find something like this, what they had was not that great, so I decided to do some research like I do when I put together an advertising or marketing program for the real estate brokers at that time, and put a little something together, and I did. It was accepted by the parents in the school, and I handled that for that school down in Mission Viejo at that time, and I went back to my business. Well,
mm-hmm.
6 months go by, and I get a call from another school district in South Orange County saying, "Are you the one that made those earthquake kits for, I won't mention the school name, but the so-and-so elementary school?" And I said, "Yes, I did that." And they wanted to know if I could do the same for them. I said, "Well, I did that for a friend. I'm not really in that business." And so they listened, and then they did this. They go, "Well, can you make those for us?" I mean, it's like, it didn't matter. I'm not really in that business. So I said, "Okay, I'll help them out." And one thing led to another. The next step was working with hospitals. We started with the Kaiser Foundation out of Oakland. And today, I'm going to skip way forward, we work with every single Kaiser hospital in California, every single Catholic healthcare hospital in California, Oregon, Nevada, and Arizona. And we service Toyota Motor Sales, which is the, I'm not talking about a dealership, I'm talking about the national headquarters that handle all the distribution of the automobiles that are made here in America and those coming in from abroad.
Mm-hmm. And it started from an emergency kit. It started from Barbara saying yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have a 30-second window there. And our website, www.30secondwindow.com, we're looking for other examples of people who said yes and how their lives then became one that served the planet, served themselves, and served their family. We do have economic needs, all of us. That's really beautiful.
And, you know, speaking of Patricia Bragg, too, when you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, CW, who have you met out of saying yes to the school and the emergency management kit? You've met some people out of that yes, just like Barbara has met people out of her yes, and I've met people out of my yes.
You know, because of that decision I made there in 1990, and I was thinking about a moment ago when you were talking about the 30-second window, I could have told my customers at times, I don't know anything about that. I could have just fluffed it off totally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you be today? And that's kind of been my whole life, Barbara, is that I've always had those 30-second windows.
That's
and you make your decision. And
uh-huh.
The people that I've met range from, you know, high-level government personnel
uh-huh.
to some people in the United Nations, not high-profile people, but, you know, a few that's helped us out. And, of course, working with large corporations like
uh-huh.
Toyota, like Ford Motor Company and Fluor Corporation and helping them setting up their emergency management and their business continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And from the mitigation and preparation side, we have, as I mentioned earlier, we've got jumped over into response and recovery using our humanitarian connections and program that we put in place.
Do you have a website that I could check out? I'm on my computer right now.
Yeah, it's called emsgo.org.
M-S-G-O. Would you spell it?
E-M-S-G-O. Like Echo, Mike, Sierra, Golf, Oscar.org.
Got it. Thank
you
so much. Gosh, I'm impressed. And there's a perfect example of that 30-second window.
I want to just interrupt here. I'm looking at the time. It's whizzing really quickly by. And we've really just basically touched on your relationship with Robert, and we've told a heroic story about, you know, what Robert's able to pull off and things of that nature. He died last year, and I was curious if you were sitting here today, how would you highlight his life since you knew him? What would you say you saw?
Boy, that's a really good question, Valerie. Thank you. He actually passed in 2010, September. He passed just the way he wanted to. He wanted to be all used up, and he did. He used himself to create Good Morning World, which is our daily email that allows the world to get his 7,000 ideas for a better world. His books are on Amazon.com. You know, most of all, they taught me happiness is keeping many, many people alive and healthy. They come to some of my lectures on happiness, which I continue to give, and they carry their war-torn book. Literally, they took it through since he wrote it in 1978 through all of the trials and tribulations, hospital visits, and they come in and it's all underlined and dog-eared. Most of all, they taught me happiness allows them to live their lives to their fullest. So what he did for me was give me courage. He gave me courage to be who I am, because that's really why we're born. We're born with a destiny bigger than ourselves, and it takes a little courage to say yes to your destiny even. And as we traveled the world from him being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize, and you can look him up on Wikipedia, and it's M-U-L-L-E-R, you'll see that his nominations for Nobel Peace Prize and his awards for the UNESCO Peace Education Prize and his Robert Mueller Schools in Texas allowed others to understand that they too can create the world they want. But there's one characteristic this fellow had that I wish everybody could begin to see the value of. He could focus. We, every single day, would wake up and he would focus on ideas that came to him in the middle of the night. He would focus on ways that would allow the world to understand how we as a humanity can help our neighbors, that we are one world. And when we would have grandchildren, and we have 11 of them, come to visit, here was Robert out in the laundry room working on his ideas while we made the dinners and we made the whatevers, the fun times. He was working. He was always focused on a better world. Every morning from 4 to 7, he wrote his ideas. He didn't get up and read the paper. When he was at the United Nations, he took the train, and he wrote speeches for the Secretary General. And I'll give you one example. He kept telling Utan, it doesn't make sense that we don't have China in the United Nations. And Utan said, well, then work on it. So Robert would write these speeches, and in the beginning, Utan would take his red pen and go right through the lines that said, let's bring the United Nations together, let's make this one planet and bring China in, because he knew it wasn't going to sit well with the United States. And then finally, Utant would make a smaller line. He would leave the, maybe we could consider bringing China back in. And pretty soon after 3 or 4 speeches, China and the United Nations, on Thanksgiving Day, when Robert knew that the United States would be home with their family, it was brought to the General Assembly, and it received a resounding yes, bring China in. And that day, people danced on the floor in the General Assembly room. And the next day on Friday, when the United States came in, they said, you will regret this, young man. And Robert said, I don't think so. And just think where we would be today if we didn't have China in the United Nations.
That's what one person can do, CW.
Behind the scenes, Robert never got the credit. And he didn't care. He cared that the world worked better for all of us with China in the United Nations. And, you know, I say these stories, and that doesn't mean I live a perfect life because I lived with him for 17 years. I have to remind myself to meditate in the morning, to get in touch with my own personal destiny, to not get caught up in the world of having and doing, but in being. And I have a new client who's just written a book called The Messages from the Ancestors, Wisdom for the Way. Took them 10 years to take the messages that they received and put them into this beautiful book. And here's the one that just, I open it up every day and I get a message. Grieve loss, but not death. Regret, grace squandered, but not generosity lavished. Mourn, love withheld, but not love given.
You know, Barbara, people have, some people have reactions to what the UN is up to, you know.
Of course.
And we recently had Jane Goodall on the show, and I wish Robert was actually still here because I loved hearing him talk. But I think what's really important is there are a lot of good people in really hard places, and I think your conversation about China just proved that. It's like wherever we are in the world, there's somebody there working to take it to a higher level, and I just want to acknowledge Robert Mueller and you saying yes to him on that day in Santa Barbara.
Thank
you.
For
opening up that 30-second possibility into lifting the UN, you know?
Thank you, thank you.
And
you know, there is a lot of value in couples. I feel like you all on the radio show today are a couple of people who work together for the betterment of each other and for the world. And there's a real strong bond that allows you to feel secure and safe in what you're doing. And that's what I got with Robert. And I feel that's what you get. You don't have to be married to the person that gives you that security and that love. But you have to be acknowledge them and thank them
yeah,
and
like
give them
Mike
the
Vitale.
Grace of your thanking them. It allows you to go on with your life, and I'm in gratitude every minute. We have a kind of a bedroom that Robert was in, and I've turned into an archival museum because we have so many visitors here, and I bring them in there, light a candle, and let them sit. I don't really need to talk. I just need to let them sit and be present, and it allows them to be present, and that's where I meditate. And I never know what's going to come up, you know, and I get a lot of energy by talking to you, Val. Sometimes there's a conversation on the phone that inspires me to do something when I'm not, you know, in the mood to do anything exciting. All of a sudden I get a hit and I say, yes, that's it. That's
right.
My 30-second window for the day.
I totally get it. And I really want to acknowledge, and I'm sure CW does too, knowing that we have Mike Vitale, our announcer, who is just right there and present all the time when we talk about different things like Sir Jason Winterty and Protandem and different things of that nature, and just generally being taken care of with the radio show. CW, I don't know about you, but I definitely want to just say thank you, Mike. You actually make this program really a lot of fun for us, too.
You're welcome.
Mike, I know you from just your voice, and you sound like a very special person.
He is a very special person, and CW actually needs to talk about something that he loves a bunch, which is Sir Jason Winter's tea, and we need to let people know about L.A. Lifestyle, CW, and I am sitting drinking my Sir Jason Winter's tea out of my beautiful English teacup with gold trim, so go for it.
I echo my the sentiments and respect for Mike, and thank you, Mike. And yes, I'm drinking my Jason Winter's tea this morning. It is nice and cozy, and it's a bit cool outside. And with that hot cup of peach Jason Winter's tea, it's a great day, great way to get your day started, because it's not only a tea that's good for you, it's a tea that really tastes good. As you know, Jason, Sir Jason created this tea a long time ago when he had that debilitating illness, and he searched the world for an herbal formula. And at that time, he didn't know Patricia Bragg or her father. And he set out and created this team. And it was one day, as you heard his son say, it was kind of by accident. He just got tired and was weak, and he kind of threw everything together. And it became magical. And he even had a test. Oncologist in England said that combination had a synergistic effect that made the herb stronger, and this is what cleaned up or made his immune system stronger. And he gives credit to a strong immune system that helped get rid of that debilitating disease that he had.
It begins with a C and ends with an R.
Well, he authored the book called Killing Cancer, and that book has sold over, I believe it's over 40 million copies worldwide in 12 different languages. And it's about his life story that led up to that disease, and then, of course, the journey it took him and how it changed his life. He, too, had that 30-second window where he could have said, the heck with it, I give up, I'm going to get my life affairs in order, and I'm just going to go home, lay in bed, and die of this thing. Well, as you know, Dr. Val, that Sir Jason, who I knew personally, did not do that. He refused to succumb and give in to the doctors who wanted to hack up his face, basically, because of that disease, with no chance of making his life any longer. And he said, no way. This isn't happening. So he set out and trekked around the world with his illness, with his sons literally carrying him on and off airplanes as he went out and talked to experts and to find these herbs. And as you know, he found the herbs that was recommended by, one came out of China, one came out of India, one came from a working with the, what was it, the Church of England?
Archbishop, I think, wasn't it? One of the archbishops in England?
And one came from an American Indian out of Arizona. And those were the four main herbs that put together called the Sir Jason Winter's tea.
But
so
here's the really important part of it to me. None of the things worked individually, though they were supposed to. And what happened was, the moment of brilliance was he combined them all, and all of a sudden it all worked, when he put together all the right ideas. And I think that's what Barbara's doing. I think that's what we're all doing in different ways. And the people that tend to listen to this show are people that have a tendency to take things to the highest level. And that's where he could have quit, because he went to each country. And each herb that he got didn't do the job all by itself. It actually required the team to pull it off.
You know, he had a lot of, when you read the story and you take a look at what Barbara's developed with the 30-second window, and you read Sir Jason Winter's story, you see where he had several opportunities or several 30-second windows brought before him, just like that one where we mentioned before where he was so weak he just threw it all together. He could have said, the heck with it, I'm not doing it anymore. But he threw them all together. He had to make that decision. He had that 30-second window to decide whether he's going to put them all together or just crawl back in bed because he's so weak that he didn't want to do anything.
CW, let me read the book jacket because I think it's good. We want to give you a free book. That's part of what we're putting into here. Sir Jason, his son Sir Raymond is a very generous man, and Sir Raymond wants you to have a copy of What If, and What If is Reflections of My Father's Life, Sir Jason Winters, and you can send an email to val@wakingupinamerica.com, and we'll make sure you have one if you give us your address. And here's what it says on the back cover. What If is the incredible true life story of Sir Jason Winters, from World War II ravaged England to the deserts of the American Southwest, over 1,000 miles down the Mackenzie River by canoe, across the Canadian Rockies by hot air balloon. He was the first Canadian to attempt the crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by balloon and tested seat belts by smashing not just cars but jaguars through brick walls in New Zealand. Sir Jason has had many adventures, and then came the biggest test of his life, all terminal cancer at age 46. And that's how Jason Winter's Tea got started. And this man's story is truly incredible. Just like Robert's is, just like Barbara's is, just like CW's is. These are people taking advantage of that 30-second window and reaching for the top of it. So please join us on this. Send an email. You got it. We'll send you out a copy. And then read it, because it really is totally inspiring. Barbara, what is the thing, if you were putting something on, I don't know how you said goodbye to him, whether he was, you cremated him or buried him or...
Oh, he's in the ground, in just the way he wanted it, in a wooden coffin with no embalming, on the ground. And we found a beautiful cemetery here in Santa Barbara, the Goleta Cemetery, which is a municipal cemetery. It's peaceful, quiet. And it's exactly what he wanted. He wanted to be between the ocean and the mountains. And there is Robert, the prophet of hope.
What'd you put on his tombstone?
Nothing yet, because he wanted it to be left alone for a while. And on his 90th birthday, we are celebrating his 90 years, the impact that one man can have. And that's when we will dedicate his tombstone on his 90th birthday. And we will have a big event at the United Nations. And if you want to know more about this, just email me, barbara@rain.org, and I'll keep you on our mailing list for the 90th celebration, Val, which will be at the United Nations at the Church Center. The information I sent you earlier was from his celebration on his last birthday. His birthday is March 11th, and it's coming up very soon, and he would have been 89 this year. You know, he wanted to live to 100, and I think he lives to maybe 1,000 when you look at the books he's written and the ideas he had. And every morning we give this good morning world, and that's because he was a candidate for Secretary General, and he would say to me, when I'm Secretary General, I am going to give the good news, and I want to have good morning world. And I said, you know, you have the internet. We have a blogger, we have a web designer, Easy in Spokane. Every single day of his life, he puts up Good Morning World, and I think we're up to 4,000 of them now. And it allows the world to read Robert's ideas, so he'll live forever. And that's why I always tell people, ebooks are here to stay. Get your ebook written. All you have to do is dedicate 15 minutes a day to your book. 15 minutes, and watch what happens.
What happens?
You write the book. If you sit down for 15 minutes, like your book that we came up for your new title, be angry or be effective? Think about that. You know, you have a potential there of people who will say, I'm angry, but am I effective? You know, you can do that for 15 minutes, Val. Just free associate what that means to you, what kind of a life you want, and what kind of information and wisdom can you impart to others. That give them examples, like I use the 30-second window. When did you in your life say yes to something or no? As with CJ, I'm sorry, Jason Winters, who said no to cancer. That was his 30-second window. Robert got prostate cancer, and he shook his, he just raised his shoulders like I live long enough, and I said, holy cow, that's not the attitude. We're going to figure this one out. And we went to the Optimum Health Institute, and with wheatgrass juice, we cured his cancer.
Oh,
cancer's not scary.
Oh, that place is terrific, folks. We'll do a show on Optimum Health Institute.
Optimum Health Institute. If I wouldn't have had Douglas Gillies, his biographer, who wrote Prophet the Hatmaker's Son, on board, I never would have been able to know about the Optimum Health Institute. So life is a series of coincidences, a series of things coming into your life for a bigger reason. And I'll give you the most recent one, Joyce Wyckoff. She did the Innovation Network, and she should be a guest on your show, Val. She is a genius who has now put together her book, Joy After the Fire. And the fire was her life when her husband died and how her life changed. And Joy After the Fire is her new book. And she and I got to, I'm trying to think how this happened. One day I get an email from Joyce. Oh, Facebook. I get an email from Joyce Wyckoff. And she starts to show me some of the work she's doing. And she's back in my life. And she is helping me write my book, The 30-Second Window. We were talking. And that just came up like, I said, you know, Joyce, I had a 30-second window when, and I just stopped talking because when I said those words, I realized I had a 30-second window to say yay or nay to what was coming in on my plate. And I remember, Valerie, I read that quote to you earlier about know what you want, write it down, but be sure that's what you want and the universe will help you. Well, when 1990, I had this huge company. I was so swamped. I had people working for me. I had an office in Santa Barbara, New York, Oxnard. I was a Hollywood Rotarian. I was being wined and dined by people like George Burns and Bob Hope and Steve Allen. And I'm thinking, what is this? What am I? A feather in the wind? I'm just running around in my white Jaguar like a nut. And all of a sudden I said, sit down, write down what you want. I sat down and I wrote four things. And I was on the tiniest piece of junky paper I ever saw. There was nothing elaborate, and I put it in my wallet. And I forgot about it. But my life started to have a harmony after that, after I wrote it down. And that was 4 years later when I met Robert. Mm-hmm. And I said yes to Robert, and 17 years we spent together. Well, I forgot about this piece of paper until I got a new wallet, which was probably in 1998. Robert and I were married, and I'm cleaning out my wallet. In the corner of my wallet is this scrap of paper that I swear came from an old newspaper corner. And on there were the four things. All had come true. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you the number one. I wanted to have a partner who was a world server. Number two, he had to be romantic. Number three, he had to be financially independent, and I had to have X amount of dollars in the bank. All absolutely true. And my life was positioned for success by writing it down on that little scrap of paper. And I keep that little scrap of paper to this day because it proved what I was often in doubt about. Could it really matter if I put my words on paper? And the answer is yes.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you're saying, and CW, I know you'll know this too. People go through life and then they start feeling like they're getting older and, you know, like maybe next time they'll come around, they'll be able to do things. And one of the things that Mike and CW and I discovered was a product called Protandin.
Protandin?
Protandin, you're going to love this stuff. It actually returns your blood to the age of, that you were at 20 of aging, and I have started playing. I'm 72 now, and I'm playing racquetball again. And anybody knows that's pretty fast. Sport.
God bless you, Val.
And I wasn't. It was like I thought that was gone in my life. And CW, you've been doing Protandin too, and you did it for your diabetes, right?
I did, and I have found that it helped leveled out my. Levels of testing that we do every day, and it's helped level that out. Of course, you need to have proper diet and exercise to go with that. But I was going up and down as much as 40 and 50 points every day.
That's a big span.
Big jumps. And, you know, and I'm not, I have a good diet. Now, my exercise program is something to be just, that in itself can make a big difference. But the Protandin has helped that out and really kept those spikes from going in. So I'm averaging right around 130 to 140. I don't jump up to 190 anymore. I don't crash down to around 70. I stay consistently at pretty much at 130 right now. And I know with a little bit of...
On the website here for Protandin, wow, it's a beautiful bottle. What is it, a pill?
Well, actually, I want you to go over to the Waking Up in America website because our Golden Hearts Foundation gets the benefit of you.
I was just wanting to see what it looked like, Val.
And Waking Up in America, it has the link right over there on the website with a picture of the bottle. So
we'll
go to wakingupinamerica.com, then you'll help our Golden Hearts Foundation, and we'll tell you more about that at another time. But I also want to have a chance for Mike to jump in here for a minute because he's the guy that stays up all night at the radio station. So, Mike, what's your comments on Protandin?
Well, I found it to be kind of a mini miracle pill, and I say that because it's really changed my energy with the kind of lifestyle I have. I work a lot here. Juggle a lot of different hats in the radio business, and I've also noticed that I walk every day. I walk about 4 miles a day, and I noticed that my joints don't hurt as much. And CW is right; it does help dealing with your diet or your diabetes. I'm kind of borderline diabetic, so it's been
so you're pre-diabetic.
Yeah. You know what? Barbara, you might just want to mention that there's a big celebration happening in the near future for Patricia Bragg, because I didn't know that the 100th anniversary of what she's been up to is here, because what, you know, that apple cider vinegar, which is such a simple solution, one of the things that I am so aware of from doing this radio program is that it takes a team of things. It isn't just one thing or one person that's going to do that's going to move this world. It's a team of people, a team of products, a team of restoration that's going to be happening for all of us. And Patricia Bragg certainly is one of the stars of that team.
She certainly is. Her father, in 1912, started the first health food store. Patricia Bragg is at www.bragg.com. And I was telling Val that recently we were watching George Clooney on TV, and they were in his home, and he opened up the refrigerator, and in the refrigerator was a bottle with the Patricia Bragg logo, which is her smiling with her little hat on. And there was her apple cider vinegar. It's been featured on Oprah and Dr. Oz. Apple cider vinegar is a kind of a very simple, but it has to be Bragg organic, because we get it from the highest level of organic apples, and it is the mother. And if you leave it in the shelf too long, it'll form this little like brown substance at the bottom. That is the organic part of the apple that allows your healing and your detoxing. So you want to have pure apple cider vinegar. I have this gorgeous bottle in my refrigerator. It is the most beautiful bottle I could find, and next to it is my apple cider vinegar. And I pour in my apple cider vinegar, and I use another, I fill up the bottle with distilled water, and I keep that there and drink it all day long. I feel like when our bodies are so bombarded by toxins and chemicals and the environment and the foods we eat because things are just not as healthy as they used to be, the apple cider vinegar is our partner, and it allows us to live that clean, healthy life and to have the energy that things like Protandin give us and the Dr. Winter's tea. And I just love what you're talking about, because these are all parts of the picture. for our health and our benefit.
And instead of having my Sir Jason Winter's tea in a styrofoam cup, I drink it out of an English teacup with gold trim on it, and I give myself a touch of elegance, which is part of what this world is missing.
We've been sold on
plastic cups and plastic forks and all that kind of stuff. If you notice, when you eat with a plastic fork, you tend to shovel food into your mouth. If you eat with silver and china, you tend to honor the meal. Okay, mm-hmm. And what we're talking about is honoring your life, and we've got like about a minute left each. So, Barbara, a couple of sentences on honoring your life before we leave here today, and take it away.
Thank you. I want people to know that they can find out more about Robert at www.robertmueller.org. And I want to just thank each person who spends their life trying to do more than they thought they could do, because that's what life's about. And I bless the day that I have today ahead of me. And when I wake up, I bless people like Val and the producer, Mike, and, of course, our good friend CW. Thank you for having me on today.
CW, what are your final conversations here?
I'm looking forward to the big bash for Patricia. I do attend the NFA program that's there every year, because I'm also a consultant with the vitamin company. And that's where I first met Patricia in person there, was at that show. And she's a fine, fine young lady. And I want to thank you for everything that you've done and carrying on Robert's views.
It's my pleasure, but thank you.
And his 5,000 ideas and dreams for a better world. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I really want to suggest that people go over to Good Morning World and sign up, and just you'll like it.
And you'll see pictures of Robert. And when you go to the website, you can hear his harmonica. The day before he passed was the first day he forgot how to play the harmonica in his entire 87 years. And you could hear do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And it's on our website.
There you go. Are we on schedule, Mike?
We got 90 seconds.
Mike, please send me your email.
Let me say something.
I have to thank you and send you a couple of books. Send me an address, and same with all of you. I'll send you some Bragg products, the calendars, and the invitation.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I'll send you Mike's, because I already sent you CW's, but I'll send you both of their addresses.
Absolutely.
Okay?
And I just can't thank you enough, Al, for what you're doing and for allowing all of us to share in unity for a better world. And I'm looking at Jason Winter's tea. Is that the cutest thing you ever did see?
Yeah, and isn't he cute too, boys?
Wow!
His son is just as terrific. This program has actually been brought to you by Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, DrValerie.com, and Valerie is all spelled out, and so is Doctor. And we thank our producer and sponsor, you big, wonderful hunk of guy, C.W. Wright of EmergencyManagementSolutions.org. You have no idea of how
40
your booming
seconds.
Voice reassures me, sir. Sir Jason Winter, L.A. Lifestyle, and Protandin, and we really have a big thank you to our team at Voice America, Jeff Spinard, Nathan Jett, Brad Comer, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale and Ron Simon. And we thank you, Ron Hayes, for being our great research assistant, and thank you very much to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen. Write us at val@wakingupinamerica.com. Go to wakingupinamerica.com to order Protandin or check out the other things that we have. And remember, Sidious, Altius, Fortius, give somebody a boost, and thanks for listening.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you new, pouring through, now your heart is open.